Alan Lamberti from Weeby 108, Connecticut's best music variety. And we've got a very special show coming our way tomorrow night to the Ridgefield Playhouse, the one and only Glenn Tilbrook of Squeeze. And that's who's on the line with me right now. How are you, Glenn?
I am absolutely great. It's a pleasure to be talking with you. Thank you.
Likewise. Now, are you stateside yet? Because I believe you just did recently a few UK dates.
Yes, I did. We had an absolutely mad 24 hours of driving from the northeast of England to Heathrow Airport to getting a flight to JFK coming up to Woodstock, where we have some friends that have a lovely place, so let us stay here. And then we start tomorrow. So we're just getting ourselves together, getting our bus together, and also just relaxing for a bit because the last few days have been mad.
Sure, I can imagine. I mean, that's a long flight, and then you get one day to rest, and then the U.S. tour actually will kick off tomorrow night. So what can we expect?
Well, you can expect a lot of things. There'll be a lot of Squeeze songs, some of which you know, some of which you maybe won't. There'll be a new Squeeze song that we wrote and recorded 2 weeks ago. I'm really proud of. There'll be solo material. There'll be covers. During lockdown, I did a series of covers and put them up on YouTube, and I'm going to be doing some of those. So it's a different variety of things. But here's the thing. I don't work with a set list, so I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to play at all. And I like it that way. I like the excitement of making it up as you go along. Seat of your pants stuff.
You know, that was going to be my very next question, because looking up some set lists from previous performances, previous tours, you change it up every night. Things come in and out all the time. So what goes into it? Are you completely impromptu? Do you have an idea of where you want to go?
I have an idea of some songs that I will definitely play every night. And then I construct large bits of the set where I don't know what I'm going to do. It works pretty well. You know, it's not, I think it's entertaining. I don't think it's self-indulgent. I think the reaction I've got, certainly on the dates I did in the UK is really, really great. So it's been a while since I've been solo over here. I've been putting all my energy into Squeeze, and that is where, I still put my energy in, but me live by myself is something different, and I think it's entertaining.
Now, is it truly solo? Is it just you and a guitar? Do you have a backing band for this particular tour?
No, I don't have a band. It is just me and an acoustic, and then me and an electric.
Oh.
And it's great. It's great fun. I love playing electric, in particular. I play quite sort of hard. And in my style, I'm very influenced by, sort of country music, guitar playing. That's in a lot of my stuff. It isn't country, of course. It's country through my filter. So it's, but I play with a B-Bender Fender Telly, and it's a wonderful machine, and it's been with me now since 1987. I'm not letting it go.
I hope not. I'm sure it's got some value to it.
Yeah, sure.
Now, you were saying that there's a country style. Squeeze, when you guys started, you were grouped into New Wave, but you're really your own style, your own genre. It's hard to pinpoint what Squeeze is and was musically. It's kind of comes from a lot of different avenues. What were some of your musical influences that would ultimately drive the music?
I think that, Squeeze were the products of all the influences. Like I was saying, that the Beatles are obviously one place that's been a massive influence on me. But then there's stuff like, Jimmy Webb and Bones Howe and the stuff that they did with the Fifth Dimension and Glen Campbell, like really super optimistic. Spanky and our gang, I'm going to say as well, super optimistic up music that really got to me is still a big thing in my mind. And then there's a lot of black music in there, from Al Green to the Temptations. That really influenced a lot of my writing. So it's a mixed bag of things, and it continues to be that. And somehow, when it goes through that filter, it comes out sounding like Squeeze.
You squeeze it out.
Exactly that.
Now you wrote the music. Chris wrote the lyrics. Is that where his background came from as well? And you guys just meshed once you ultimately answered the ad and you guys joined forces?
Yeah. Well, when we joined forces, I think it was pretty obvious to both of us where our strengths were. Unfortunately, they were in opposite corners. So I stopped writing lyrics and Chris really stopped writing tunes. And we did that for each other. And our output just went off the scale. We were writing. We spent the first 3 years after we met writing loads of songs. And it really stood us in good stead, I think.
Well, the output's been absolutely incredible. In fact, you certainly, I'm sure, are aware, this month is the 40th anniversary of the Sweets from a Stranger album. I don't have the exact date. I just saw that it said September of 82. So it's 40 years. We'll call it today.
Let's call it today. Yeah, I'm up for that. I didn't know that.
I'd like to know about the song Black Coffee in Bed, one of your most iconic songs. Where did that come from? Because that was the longest song you had written up till that point. And how did you manage to release it not in a single edit? How is it only a 6-minute song? How was there never a 3-minute version?
I think we were pretty stubborn in those days. And the record company did a couple of edits, but it just seemed like weird to cut out. Each part of the song's different. Each verse is different. So it was nice to be able to keep that intact, you know, and people love the song now. It wasn't a hit, but it's a hit in my mind.
We'll take it. I mean, it's an amazing song. It still holds up, and it's so unique. I don't think I can even compare it to something else.
Yeah, it sounds like us, you know. The song musically came from, my love of the Temptations and Holland Dozier Holland, the great work they did at Motown, and on Invictus labels as well. And it wasn't a pastiche, but it's just that's where my head was at that time, and that's what came out.
So now we're getting ready for the U.S. tour. You're kicking it off tomorrow. Yeah. You're doing about a month, and then you go back and you do squeeze shows. What's the biggest difference, aside from the fact that the full band, you know, when you said that you work without a set list and everything like that, when you do squeeze, is it similar? Do you get to do some of that impromptu-ness as well, or is it a bit more regimented, and this is where you can have a bit more fun?
Well, I mean, we have a lot of fun with Squeeze, but it's pretty tightly nailed down as far as what we do. You know, I think the big thing with Squeeze is that we know where we can let go within a set, and we do so, and we can really wow people with our playing on that. The songs are structured in the way they are, and we respect and honour that. But we do bring a lot of energy to it. I think that's one place we went wrong in the 90s was that we sort of got a bit complacent. We, like that lobster being boiled, we didn't really know what was happening. And I can only look back at it and say, well, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to think we know how everything goes, because the minute you start thinking that is when you start slipping backwards.
After the 90s, is the 2000s when you started going out doing this solo production more and more? I know there was the film that made around that time. And what's been the biggest difference that in your experience between touring now versus touring then or touring in the early days? How much has changed, aside from the fact that I assume that the mileage of the vehicles is a bit better?
Yeah, we're just moving into a rented RV now to do our touring, and I love doing that. That's something I started doing in 2001, and I've never looked back. It's a wonderful way to see this country. It's a wonderful way to exist, and I absolutely love it. I think, you know, in a way, when I started going solo, my career was at its lowest ebb, but I knew that. I knew it would take a lot of work, and actually, I was fine with that. It was really an enriching experience for me. So I toured here, you know, pretty constantly, and built up a sort of fan base from scratch, with the advantage of having been that bloke in Squeeze. And it was a really great time. In fact, some of the best times I had in my career were at that point. It was all very low key, small, but I was happy with that. I didn't feel a loss. I didn't feel bitter. I didn't feel I should be somewhere else. I was where I was, and I was content with that. And I'm so pleased that I was able to do that, because weirdly enough, now we're really successful again. Now we're playing big places, and the audiences are really large for Squeeze. And you know, it's come from a really good place. We're all happy.
Well, the fans, I think, are going to be especially happy to know. I watched a video, I think it was recorded probably in March, of you on stage, and your voice is remarkably, it sounds exactly the same as it does on the recordings. So what is the secret?
I wish I knew, because I'd bottle it up and sell it. I might be really rich. I think it's just luck. You know, it's the luck of the draw that my voice has held out so far. And it's the same voice it always has been. I can get to every key is the original key. And, you know, sometime, I guess, something will happen. But so far, it hasn't.
Well, yeah, keep our fingers crossed. I mean, it's been an incredible career. And I did read a couple of, it might have been an interview about a year ago that the two of you, you and Chris, were planning on revisiting some older material from the early days that never got completed, never got released. Is that still in the works?
Yes. Yeah, very much so. So that's a collection of songs that we wrote for an imaginary musical in 1974 called Trixies. And they're great songs, you know. They're really good songs. So we're going to record that album, and we're going to also record an album of new material, first of which we recorded 2 weeks ago. And it's great. I'm so buzzing about what we've done, because Chris and I didn't write for 5 years until this song, and it's really got the juices going in a great way. So we're going to do a new album as well as that one. So I think they'll be released simultaneously. And I think about a 50-year gap in writing of the songs is quite a story.
Yeah, that would be a very cool thing to experience, a side by side, where it started and where it is now. That's remarkable. As you mentioned earlier, one of those songs that just was recorded 2 weeks ago, we'll be hearing it on this tour, which kicks off tomorrow night at the Ridgefield Playhouse. Glenn Tilbrook of Squeeze, we're really looking forward to the show, and thank you for spending a few minutes with me. It's been a true honor.
Oh, Alan, thank you. It's been such a pleasure. I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Of course. Good luck with the tour, and we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Cheers.